JukeCast by Juke Creative. We're curious by nature, and we love to share what we've learned.
Sorry, it's a Friday. We're drinking Dear Mom Oregon Rosé. We're drinking it from a can because it's Friday and it's cute, and we're in Portland, Oregon. I'm Carrie Olivier from Juke Creative. We served up some nice food for thought on the big picture of content strategy in our last episode of the JukeCast, but now we're ready to sit down, have a drink, and dive into the meat of this critical topic. I'm joined once again today by digital marketing expert Jeremy Solly. So, Jeremy, here's a sobering thought to kick us off. You might remember from the last time we spoke that only about a third of B2B marketers actually think they're doing a good job with their content strategy.
Ouch. Yeah.
All right, so let's break it down. Let's build a marketing avatar. Let's call her Mary the Marketer. We've all worked with Mary. We know her. She's got a budget. Of course, she's got a very aggressive timeline. She's got stakeholders to please and metrics to meet or even exceed. And her agency has provided her with a ton of research, so she knows about her audience. She also knows she needs content. And she's got a content strategy. Mm-hmm. She needs content.
Yeah, she's halfway there, right?
Yeah, right, she's halfway there. She needs content.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, what does Mary do next?
So she's got the guidelines, right? She's got a true north in terms of here's my content strategy, right?
Right.
Here's my audience that I'm using with that, right?
Right.
And I think, you know, as she has those things defined, really starting to put the plan together of what is it that that audience, you know, what are the trigger points? What do they need to hear? And how can I kind of meld the storyline together between where that consumer is at and bringing them into what our value prop is, either for our brand or for this product or a little bit of both, right? Actually, this is one thing that I think about a lot is this concept of an audience of one. So I think we all too often get kind of caught up in, we have this audience, there's hundreds of thousands of people in them or whatever. But what I start to think about is this, who's the one person that represents that audience? And if I can make a piece of content that resonates with that one person, odds are it'll resonate with 10 more and 100 more beyond that. And so what I would actually say is think about that audience of one. Mm-hmm. Try to custom that content, you know, that's marrying your product or brand kind of narrative to that one person, and then start with that as a brick. Say, this is the brick, the foundation of the content that we're going to build and try to drive this person to become a customer or to engage with our brand.
Right, right. That's the whole point. It's not to talk to ourselves. It's to engage our customer.
Right.
All right. Well, let's keep talking about Mary because I want to see what she does next.
Let's do it.
If your research tells you we're drinking, sorry, it's a Friday. We're drinking Dear Mom Oregon Rosé. We're drinking it from a can because it's Friday and it's cute and we're in Portland, Oregon. So we're drinking this. So let's say you and I are in the marketing team of Dear Mom Oregon Rosé. Yeah. Research was done. It was discovered that the only people that drink Dear Mom Oregon Rosé are hipsters from Oregon, and they're reading Portland Monthly.
Accurate.
Uh-huh. Right, right, yeah. Accurate, totally true. So that's our research. So we're going to want to boil that down to one person.
Yeah.
Because you kind of can't please all the people all the time. No. So you're going to boil down the research to the lowest, it's that one person. So
that
Jeremy,
person.
Who drinks the Dear Mom Oregon Rosé, what can I create from a content standpoint that's going to make him drive over to the
new seasons
on Belmont and buy another case of it?
Right.
Right.
If you are thinking about your audience of one and you're thinking about that content that gets them to the straightest path, you start by investing in what that brick of content is going to be. Okay, our hypothesis is that they're going to read Portland Monthly, so we're going to do a sponsored article in Portland Monthly or a layout or an ad. Or maybe they're all watching YouTube, and so we're going to do some YouTube videos that are going to drive people to the website
but
or somewhere.
But you're not guessing about
but
these
we're
things.
We're not guessing.
Really,
we have a very real hypothesis.
Right.
And so that's the thing, is if you invest in that one piece that drives somebody to buy more rosé, all of a sudden you're like, well, that was our one piece. Now, how do we create a Facebook post off of that? And how do we create an Instagram story series right. off of that? And so you already have that swim lane of this is the content we're going to create. Now let's be just absolutely crazy creative within that swim lane.
Yeah.
And so then you're on path with the strategy. If you're staying within that swim lane, while you can still be creative, it doesn't wander you away from the strategy you've
set.
So
mostly
right?
this mid-level Mary, who we've been sure. speaking of, you know, she's working on the marketing team for Dear Mom. She's mm-hmm. got Jeremy in her sights. Mm-hmm. The types of things that would get her off strategy, someone else on her sure. team saying, forget Portland Monthly, forget yeah. YouTube. We want you to try out Willamette Weekly. Right. Whatever. I'm joking. Sure. Whatever. Or, you know, try
we
out the Spokane. Yeah, try out the right. Spokane. We think sure. Spokane, yeah. Washington is the next market for Dear Mom. Yeah. But all the data, all the research is saying no.
Right.
So that's a difficult I'm holding you accountable, though, Jeremy, for the tactics of how Mary's going to say, but no, right. or how she stays. You know, she's got her true north, so keep going.
Well, and so here's a good one. I'm going to throw digital under the bus for a second. So, like, everybody's going digital and the shiny object is digital. You may want to try a more traditional marketing tactic of doing in-store displays or something like that, right? Like,
yes.
this is totally outside of my wheelhouse. But, like, again, staying true to the content strategy, staying true to the audience and to the product, you need to make very hard decisions of yes, these are the things we're going to do, and no, these are the other formats we are not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the things I think that can sidetrack content strategy when there's so many different formats at our fingertips, right?
Right.
We can go buy an ad right now on my phone for Facebook to advertise anything we want at
yep.
the moment, at this moment.
Yep.
In the next 30 seconds on this podcast, we could launch an ad if we
yes,
wanted to,
we
right?
could.
With all of that at our fingertips now, it is our responsibility to be more disciplined and rigorous.
Yep. Because yeah. if a tree falls
right.
in the forest and no one sees it, did
yeah.
it really fall?
Did it fall, yeah.
Yeah, and so what do you, to that end, feel about a test and learn strategy mm. for digital?
Sure.
What's your point of view on that? Yeah. I know I get asked that a lot by my clients.
I don't want this to fly into the face of what I was just talking about, but I actually think that is a lot of the promise with
digital sometimes you yeah
with, well with, especially with yeah. digital, but I would say with almost all marketing now, we should take a much more curious approach to it and a test and learn approach.
So you balance your discipline,
right?
You balance your discipline and your rigor toward that your North Star right. with a bit of curiosity about testing and learning
100%.
New formats.
And you can leverage those shiny objects a little bit of like, well, this doesn't 100% fit with that North Star, but it kind of like 30 or 40%. So maybe we set aside X percentage of the budget and go ahead and test that
Great.
In this. And maybe it'll work, or maybe it won't, or maybe it'll blow up all of our hypothesis and it'll set us in a bit of a new direction. But then how do you reapply that content strategy lens and make sure that you're not getting away from your brand
yeah.
or whatever?
Yeah. So that's part of the rigor. Applying that critical eye to where you are deviating from your content strategy.
Right.
First, you need to know what your strategy is.
Yeah.
And that's where your audience of one comes in. And then you can intelligently and intentionally diverge from it.
Yeah.
But only fully knowing that you are.
If you're doing it intentionally.
Yeah, as long as you know you're doing it.
Yeah. Coming back to that kind of precious conversation around marketing is like, we set the content strategy, but it will always evolve. Just like our brands evolve over time, our messaging platforms evolve over time. And I guess the hard part is knowing the moments and times when a content strategy might need to evolve, or the narrative has evolved, or you wouldn't want to blindly continue the same marketing campaign year
right.
over year
right.
because it was part of the content strategy
right.
and you might be missing a whole audience
right.
of consumers, right? Like
yep.
that's where the testing and learning comes in is like, well, let's like test the fence over here and let's mm-hmm. test the fence over here. And oh, wow, there's an opening and a bunch of customers came in. Let's put more money towards that part of the fence. And
yep.
like, and so how do you kind of continue that evolution? So
that's
the hard balance
that's
of
what,
it.
Well, that's yeah. where smart marketing comes
sure.
in. So I love what you've said. And if I can sort of recast it the way that I've heard it, because I think
sure.
it's super smart. It's applying your marketing expertise across the way, because those of us who are marketers and who love marketing know that it's a moving target and everything's
mm-hmm.
always changing, and that we have to apply our creativity
sure.
to the lens.
It's an instinct,
so
right?
it's an instinct.
Yeah.
So those of us who are in this to win it, we have a marketing gut. So
mm-hmm.
someone can say, be rigorous, be disciplined, but run that through the lens of your gut and right. always be learning and reading yeah. and staying close to the trends. And goodness knows they're changing every second. So it's that rigor. But then that test and learn, you know, that's a great way to mitigate those stakeholders that are always hitting you with every, you know, you can give them a little bit of the test and learn pie, mm-hmm. but stay really sure. true. But it should always ladder to the overall content strategy in a yeah. way that feels right to you and the organization.
Yeah.
It, totally. It can't be Dear Mom Oregon Rosé that we're drinking. We shouldn't be advertising in the Dairy Farmer's Almanac in yeah. Iowa. I mean, right. it that's not a good test and learn strategy. Right. That's, yeah. you know, it should be.
Yeah. You don't drop a bunch of direct mail pieces in an area where your product's not being carried in the store,
but,
right?
Like, yes, I would
like
say
you
no.
just think
I would
through say, those yeah, things, yeah. right? But I also think that there's a part of this where I think the leadership starts to show up. And that's another interesting, this might be a whole nother podcast, but like, I think part of what even what we're talking about, when you talk about instinct and you talk about gut, is like people that have done marketing or even communications that are really good leaders and that have some experience, they develop that instinct. The ones that are really good at that have shown that they can make great decisions. Mm-hmm. They can stay true to the strategy, whatever, if it's a content strategy, yep. they can help be rigorous or help mm-hmm. that team yep. understand what it means to be rigorous and disciplined around right. it, but also be open to those new possibilities, be
that's
open
right.
to testing and learning. Or even that's where really, you know, experience kind of agency partners can come in and
add kind of
to
guide,
that, right?
And guide.
Like yep. you need kind that's of right. gurus through this stuff.
You do.
They have enough experience and instinct to be able to make some hard decisions, yep. put people on a path, try things,
that's right.
and also be ready to kind of, you know, nudge or pivot a little bit yep. when necessary.
Yeah,
right?
I would say the ingredients of a really smart, I mean, guru is kind
that.
Of
I hate that word.
I like oh. calling you that just because it's fun. But the really the ingredients of a true expert in their field is somebody who's willing to admit that they're not expert in another field.
Yeah,
they own mm-hmm. their lane. And they can say in a meeting with a bunch of stakeholders, I don't know a lot about that, but I sure as heck brought someone to the table who did. It's
yeah.
someone who's pretending that they know a lot about everything, I'm mm-hmm. instantly suspect of. Mm-hmm. And also someone, like you said, that is willing to take a bit of risk, even at the risk of making a mistake.
Right.
Because if you're solid and confident in your knowledge and expertise, mistakes don't matter so much.
No.
Because you can stand behind him. So, yeah,
right.
you
mistakes
know.
Mistakes are just learnings,
they're
right?
Just
like,
they're
opportunities
just more like,
okay,
to learn.
Okay, cool, we did that.
Yeah.
There's the inputs in
yeah.
and the verdict's out and we're
yeah.
not going to do that again and
exactly.
we'll do something else.
In this Jukecast series, we've had the chance to feast on ideas for defining and staying true to your content strategy. And we shared a drink over marketing to your audience of one. Time for some dessert? Well, Jeremy and I do have a treat in store for our next episode. Think whipping up lots of great content, but not having to make it all from scratch. I'm Carrie Olivier from Juke Creative. Thanks for listening.
For more ideas and tools, visit jukecreative.com.